What?
What are you doing?
Somebody said you had the squirt. So
what? Yeah. Bud.
You said you had to go to the bathroom.
I didn't say I had the squirts.
Well, Phil, that's all I know. And Bud said, can you sing? And I said, does the Pope crap in the woods? Of course I can sing. So he put on Midnight Train to G.A. You know it's my theme song.
I know you like that song. I'm fine. Why didn't you come and get me, Bud?
Oh, yeah, right. You're in the stall. Place probably smells like a person died in there.
Phil, there's nothing to be ashamed of that. Where'd you get the Szechuan chicken? Come on, let's know. Come on, we want to know, Phil.
I'm not saying. I happen to like their food, and I don't want anybody thinking that their food isn't any good.
Panda Express.
No, I didn't get it at Panda Express.
Well, Phil, wherever you got it, there is no shame. No shame in having a target.
You don't have to whisper.
All right.
Let's just have your stupid entertainment report.
All right, Phil. As you know, Colin Farrell has been implicated in a sex tape. Colin Farrell's attorneys are trying to have a videotape that purportedly shows the young actor involved in a sexual escapade with a girl or two. The attorneys want this tape suppressed for, quote, privacy concerns. A Margaret Gray commentary. All of us on the inside in Hollywood have known for years there is the party that Colin Farrell has gone to that, in the last 6 years at least, that his pants don't come off at some point in the evening. The reason why Colin Farrell wants this tape suppressed is because his penis is very small. Now, Phil,
I'd rather hear the music.
How dare you? That
I don't need to hear this kind of slanderous chat. Will you turn that off, Bud?
You said you wanted to hear it.
Come on, y'all. Yeah. On the phone. On the phone.
Turn it off and don't ever do what I... Don't do... Never mind.
Don't do what you say to do.
Phil, I
don't need to hear your childish Hollywood report.
This happens to be a fact.
Everybody on the inside in Hollywood knows that for the last 6 years, there ain't a party that Colin Farrell goes to that his pants don't come off sometime during the evening.
Yes. And the fact is, Phil, and I've got this from very reliable sources, is that Colin Farrell, for all of his womanizing and all of the bon vivant reputation that he has a very small penis.
You know, just because you're whispering, it doesn't make you any more of a lady.
Phil, I'm trying to be a lady. How dare you infer that I'm not?
Oh, just because he has a very small penis.
I'm whispering it so that people won't, not everyone will, so the children won't hear.
Yeah, that's right. All the kids at home don't have a volume knob they can turn up.
I am trying to have some sensitivity here. The fact is, Colin Farrell is not, you know, a little tiny, not well hung.
Turn it off, Bud.
I like this song.
Oh, I love this. Everybody plays the fool some...
Get her out of here before I commit homicide. And don't you ever tell anybody that I'm in the bathroom with the squirts. I don't need her coming on here and doing Midnight Train to G.A., y'all.
Well, that's what she said anyway.
1-800-449-8686. Colin Farrell, what is this sex tape anyway? He's got a tape? There's always a tape. There's a tape of, you know, I guess there's probably a few tapes of me, too, for all I know. Who knows? But anyway, Colin Farrell has some sex tape that's circulating. I don't think that there's much that guy probably hasn't done. After all, he's an Irishman, and he drinks. So there you go. Speaking of Ireland, my friends called. As you know, the 23rd annual Old Boot Tournament, which my buddies are at in Ireland right now, is well underway. Today's Wednesday. It's now into Thursday morning. And they're playing golf at a different course every day. And I get a call on Monday on my cell phone. It's from my friend Don. He says, okay, here's the report. We are in a private coach, and we're on our way to... They were leaving Limerick, and they were on their way to Lahinch on the eastern side of Ireland, where they would then play golf. And it was 6:15 at night, and they were already well into the Guinness. He says, oh, we've already cracked the Guinness. And, you know, everybody's got a big smile on their face. It's 6:15 at night, and they were on their way to play another 18 holes of golf at 6:15. And then I remembered... Summertime in the British Isles, the sun doesn't freaking go down until about 10 o'clock at night. So you can get in another 18 holes at 6 o'clock at night. So they had just played like two rounds at this one course, on their way to play another 18 at another course, hammered. And believe me, there aren't too many things in this world tougher to do than hit a golf ball drunk. It's like it's impossible. But in any event, what are you going to do, man? Are you actually going to, you know, are you actually going to quibble with stuff like that?
The mayonnaise?
Yeah, you know what I said, the mayonnaise.
Wait a minute, I said, Bud, bring me the mail.
You said you had a speck of mayo on your chin. Did you say, hey, Bud, I got a speck of mayo on my chin, wipe it off with that towel?
No, I didn't.
That's what he says you said.
Look at Mr. Hall, sir. I said, Bud, bring...
He said to lick it, Mr. Hall.
You said to lick the mayo off your chin.
No, I didn't. I said, bring me the mail. M-A-I-L. Bring me the mail.
Oh, yeah, sure. I know how it is with you guys. You radio talent trying to get by the whole FCC. Yeah, man, I got mayo on my chin. Towel it off. I know how it is with you guys. Well, it's not going to work with me. And I heard what you said about Bud being gassed by the Nazis.
Well, you know what? That guy has caused me more problems. If the Nazis didn't do it, I would.
Then he said to smear it all over my face, Mr. Hall.
You said to smear mayo all over your face?
Doesn't mean that when you screw up, the whole world has just got to go crawling to you. Look, you come out to Hollywood, you're hammering back, you're hammering back. You're probably walking into every bar in a joint going, hey, how come you only got that Knob Creek fag stuff, huh? You know, you don't have any of that good fresh Guinness come out like candy. Look it, pal. You know, you come on out here, man, and you start drinking and hunching everything you see, and that means everything from Falstaff Light to a cocktail waitress at the Hamburger Hamlet and then some, and then you get upset because you consented one night over at Hefner's place to having yourself videotaped while you're going out with Miss July, and then you're all bugged. Welcome to the planet Earth, you Mick. God! As one Mick to another. You know, the kid is very talented. Although, now, I can't remember seeing him in anything that I like, though. It's kind of like that poor guy Pitt. I like Pitt. I like Brad Pitt a lot. But the movies he makes, oh, my feathery sweet Lord. When is this guy, what is he thinking, man? The last thing I saw him in that I dug was that True Romance where he played that stoned-out surfer guy. Oh, that character was perfect. Everything else he does. Now, here comes this Colin Farrell, and he says he's like his rights are being violated because he's caught on videotape. Somebody took it and is selling it. When you drink, you do things. When you do those things after you drink, sometimes they're dumb. People videotape them and sell them, and what are you going to do, man? There's your butt up in the air in some guy's freaking surround sound home theater. It's too bad, man. Like, who was the other guy? Rob Lowe? Remember that? And then there was somebody, Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, and then that Tanya Harding, which...
I love that tape.
Yeah, well, you would, bud. I'll bet you thought that was hot, huh?
I liked her.
Tanya Harding and the great Jeff Galooly. Pat O'Brien's audio tapes. You know, I heard those Pat O'Brien tapes. Did you hear them? You know, it's amazing what alcohol can do to a guy. And his last name is O'Brien. Oh, yeah, that's right. Harry just reminded me. It wasn't all alcohol. It had a whole lot to do with a rolled-up $100 bill. Thank you! Whole lot to do with some guy with a credit card and some powder and going, come on, Pat. Yeah, no, not really. Yeah, really? You know, I really love you on the thing. Come on, Pat. So the dude's on this tape, and he's calling this chick, and then it makes its way to the... And the audio tape was this... It's amazing. Some guys... Look, if this works, I would do it. Oh, I think you are so hot. What I'd like to do is rub you with chicken fat. And then I'd like you to mistake my face for a saddle. And then I'd like to... Come on, give me a call. And then he would wrap the whole filthy thing up with, give me a call. That's what... That would be the end of it. He would call his chick, who apparently was across the floor at a dance joint. And this is what these jackasses do now. They call each other on the phone when they're 4 feet away from each other. So now he's on the phone. He calls his chick. How he got her number, I don't know. Maybe somebody gave it to him. Maybe she gave it to him. But he calls her up, and she doesn't answer because she thinks he's a creep. And so he's leaving this on her voicemail. Oh, yeah. I guess he was there with his girlfriend, some babe, and he says, you know, Clarissa or Melissa or Melinda or Brittany or whatever her name is, she really wants to do you, too. And the two of us would love to chain you and ball gag you. And this whole long line, and it would end with, give me a call. So when she finally got a hold of this tape and she sold it to the highest bidder, and there's O'Brien sitting there, slumped in a chair in his boss's office the next day, his face the color of wax paper, the shirt askew, the tie askew, a thin band of sweat on the collar, his eyes bloodshot, he's looking at the floor, and there's a guy going, "What the hell were you thinking?" I don't know. I just think, just don't talk! I give you the Entertainment Tonight beat. I give you Paris Hilton's cell phone number. You're out, you're doing every big story, and you're in a dance joint talking dirt to some broad from Hamburger Hamlet. I don't know. I just... Oh, shut up! Now, here's what you're going to do, O'Brien. Now, wait a minute. No, you just shut your mouth. You know, it's like Rod Steiger. Oh, no, you shut your mouth. Now, here's what you're doing. You're going over there to New Beginnings or New Morning or New Ass or whatever that place is where all of you people dry out over there in Malibu. You understand? They're going to stick you in a cage. They're going to strip you down and they're going to hose you off for a solid 3 weeks. That's right. All they'll do is throw in a bowl full of chopped up meat and water. That's what you're going to get, O'Brien. You're going to dry it right out.
Well, I don't know. I think I can go cold turkey. But
No. No more excuses. Last year was that whole thing with the dog. This year, this. 2 years ago, I don't even want to know. I'm still paying off that farm for the equipment, everything. 3 years ago, do you know how much all that hose cost me? All of those, that San Pedro isn't built for that. You and those fish. Friend, you're going over and you're going to dry out. And then maybe we'll give you the shot back. And I got to talk to Mary Hart, she's pissed off. I don't know whatever show you're on. I can't even remember. I'm just your agent. What do you care, huh? I just get you these jobs.
Well, gee, Benny, I really care about it.
I really care about it. I got to talk to Hart, because you made that whole crack about her kisser looking like Bucky Beaver on a bad day. She's all bugged out about that, man. Now, here's what you're going to do. You're going over to that dry out dump in Malibu. They're going to hose you down and then they're going to strap you up, man. They got two guys in white shirts and black gloves, and all day long they're going to sweat you down. How you doing now, man? They'll chain you up like something in a dungeon in a medieval time, and then you'll come out and then maybe I'll take you around for some meetings. Now get out of my sight. 2 days later, he's back on the job. Isn't he back working now? Because I think I saw 2 days after that, he was on some show. Was it Bill O'Reilly? Who was he on? He was doing a whole mea culpa. But he was on a thing, and he's, I'm a real piece of turd. And basically was trying to kind of maybe, just maybe, limit the damage. My theory is this. I don't think there was any damage. I think the only damage that was done was to the reputation of the girl that he called. I don't think Pat O'Brien has fans per se. I think people just dig him. Oh, he went on Dr. Phil. That's it. And Dr. Phil did what he did. He was like the father confessor, kind of like this bald-headed guy that just, okay, you a turd? Yes. All right. Nomine Patri, Spiriti, Spiriti Sancti. Amen. Go and sin no more. Did that whole, but I don't think that anybody cared. They made a big deal. They ran him out of town on a rail, and who could give a crap whether he's talking crappy to some chick? All I want to know is what's the stuff he's got on Nicole and Paris and all of them. And now you got Colin Farrell, and of course, now we're going to have to look at his bare rear end up in the air for another 6-7 weeks while that makes the rounds. You dumb Mick. Man, if I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, dude. You think that Irish malt is good? You start drinking some of that Kentucky sipping stuff, it's like freaking acid. You're going to come over here, man, you better bring some of that Irish malt with you, because you start drinking that Kentucky jazz, you think you might as well have chewed 15 buttons of peyote.
I can drink any kind of whiskey you want to get it.
Really? Try some of this freaking Louisiana river water, Jack. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our webcast on July the 29th. That's right, folks. On July the 29th, our second webcast of the summer, and you can watch us do the show, and you can see it from 3 different camera angles. Colin Farrell will be here throwing up. Just a marvelous thing. Pat O'Brien is going to sit. I'm just going to have him slumped in a corner, and I'll just throw the camera on him every now and again and go, hey, wake up. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. So they'll all be here for our Second webcast of the summer on July the 29th. In order to see it, you must have a backstage pass. In order to get the Phil Hendry Show backstage pass, you visit our website at www.philhendryshow.com. Follow all the links. Do what they ask you to do. You put a credit card in. And this is kind of a self-renewing thing, too. So if you get a month membership, for instance, if you want to just subscribe for the month, we will renew you month by month unless you tell us to cancel. If you would like the six-month subscription, frankly, it's a hell of a lot better deal. You can do that, too, or a year. Whatever you'd like to do, just go to our website and sign up for your Backstage Pass membership. It also gives you access to everything on the site, all of our audio, and we've got very high-quality audio. If you think you're going to find our material on listening posts or on bootleg sites, all of that stuff is crap. It's pulled off a shortwave. Some dude recorded it, you know, with one of those handheld mic recorders on a transistor. It sucks.
All right, now, the snake is a terrible thing. If a snake bites you, like if it, say, it bit that lady in the front row that I'm paying attention to, and if it bit you, it would go right through your slacks, and I'm guessing, you're not wearing panties. And so, well, anyway, what's your name, Mrs. Jones? I got to remember that. Okay. Am I right? Are you wearing, you got anything underneath them slacks? Well, anyway, all right, that's all right. Okay, kids, now, Billy Jones, Billy, come on over here.
Here, Cowboy Jim, what do you want me to do?
All right, Billy, what I want you to do here, stick your hand in the cage. Now, yes, it will bite you, but I've got anti-venom, okay? Once I apply the anti-venom, then we're able to suck the poison right out of there. Well, right over here is our paramedic. You'll be treated. You'll be as spiffy as new. No problem. All right, compadre? Okay, my young caballero, huh?
Okay, Cowboy Jim, what about you, sorry?
Good boy. Now, you stick your hand in the cage there. How are you, huh?
So, you wearing panties, huh?
Oh, Cowboy Jim, it bit me.
Really? That's tough.
Now, I was going to say, oh, Jesus.
All right, here, we go. Get the anti-venom. Look, Bill, would you administer the anti-venom to him? Because I want to... You ever get down to Mexico?
Not a lot.
No. Because I can tell you're not wearing no underwear, unless maybe you're wearing, you got on thong or something like that? Huh? Come on, quit teasing me, huh?
Cowboy Jim.
Just easy, will you?
You wearing panties or not? Come on, now I want to know.
Come on, don't you lie to Cowboy Jim. You had a thong on, don't you?
The boy's dead.
That's too bad.
Now, the boy's dead?
And I'm not even really into politics. I just got interested in discussing America's geopolitical place in the world after 9/11. I really got very turned around by 9/11. Some people did, some people didn't. It's fine. But for me, it was a really important thing. But I can't really do much of that on this show. I don't want to. And the reason is I don't want the idea of this radio show to get skewed too far away from what its essential purpose is, which is to be an entertainment vehicle delivering satire, not necessarily political monologues. Although, from time to time, we engage in them. But I could do it a lot better with a blog. This is the thing that's happening now, the blog. Why'd you do that?
I thought it'd be a good thing.
Don't ever punch buttons that I say not to punch. I don't need you to accentuate my bits.
Don't do that, man.
That's a good idea.
I'm going to kill you, man. So I'm thinking of doing a blog, and I got a name for it. GeorgeBushIsGod.com. Now, why am I going to call it GeorgeBushIsGod.com? Because it'll piss off all the people that I want to piss off. All these numbskulls that I have been wasting my precious time talking to with emails and message boards, I'm not even dealing with anymore. GeorgeBushIsGod.com will serve all those purposes. Because it's impossible. It's impossible to talk to these people. You've never seen a group of people more convinced that they're right than the so-called, like, I'm a liberal Democrat, but there's a thing that I am now calling the late left, or the dead left, or more to the point, the gutless left. Because as a leftist, one of the things that I believed in, and always have believed in, is fighting fascism. Fighting Nazis. And the greatest example of the Nazi today is Al-Qaeda and terrorists. These people don't give a crap about the people of Iraq or Afghanistan. They just want to blow their country to hell, man. They just want to do battle with America. And any Iraqis that die? Now, the left that I used to be a part of, these gutless wonders have abandoned their battle against fascism because they don't have the guts to battle real fascism. They want to tilt at the windmill of George Bush. And if you don't know what tilting at windmills is, you got to read Don Quixote. I believe that's how you pronounce it, or Don Quixote. So anyway, am I going to be sitting here jaw-jacking that crap on this show? Maybe, but more to the point, I'm going to be doing it on my new blog, GeorgeBush'sDogIsGod.com, or GeorgeBush'sDog.com. George Bush's dog's name is .com, so that's what I'm going to call it, GeorgeBush'sDog.com. And I were walking down the road the other day. So when I do that, then it's going to be a beautiful thing. I will join forces with others on the web to further push these people into this, you know, to further back these people into the ideological corner that they backed themselves into. They got no answers. They got no game plan. They got no plan of attack. They got no course of action. All they got is they don't like George Bush. And, you know, it was funny before the election, and it got a little bit funnier after the election, after they got their asses kicked. Now it's time to step on them and spray them with the only insecticide that'll work, their own bullcrap. With GeorgeBush'sGod.com, I will do just that. I'm Phil Hendry. That's one man's opinion. Don't forget our website is www.philhendryshow.com. That's www.philhendryshow.com. Go to our souvenir shop. To hell with the webcast on the 29th. What do I care what you buy that? I want you buying shirts. I want you buying jerseys, jackets, shot glasses, coasters, everything that has to do with booze. Buy it. You can get it all on my website at www.philhendryshow.com in the souvenir shop. And while you're there, of course, get your backstage pass. The other thing that I want you to do and that I want you to remember, and really the only valuable thing that I think that we do in media, and that is to assist in charitable work. So when you go there, would you please pick up a copy of our when are we going to do our 2005 CD? We should be just about ready to get the best of the 2005 underway, because Mark's been keeping a log of all the cool stuff. And we're going to have another 2-CD set, aren't we? Oh, we got another ass kicker coming your way. So the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2004 CD, Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, this is available on our website. And when you buy that, all the money that we raise, and I mean all of the money, there's none of this percentage of the profits goes to a charity. All the bread goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And they're from all over the country, so it's our job. It's all of our jobs. So head on over to the souvenir shop and get our Best of CD. And remember, the 2005 is on its way. Art Griego bit yesterday, I thought was a lot of fun, because it was Art, who is a commercial pilot, and he was saying, well, you know, I still fly, even though I have Parkinson's, and I got a friend of mine who's a paranoid schizophrenic, and he still flies, and there's no reason why we can't continue to fly with today's modern navigational equipment. And even though my friend is paranoid schizophrenic, and maybe having an actual episode where he's seeing things, hearing voices, and hearing ringing bells, you know, he can at least come out of the cockpit for 5 seconds to say thank you very much to the passengers before we hustle him into a car under a coat and get him off of the tarmac. What in hell? All right, so the guy's just flown your plane. It's been really nice flying you. And then, all right, let's go into the car. Just get in the car and shut up. And off you scream in a blue, you know, in one of those kind of light blue with the black wall tire cop cars that all the airport cops have. You ever figure cops, gee, I didn't know you were a cop. Your, you know, car with the antenna and the black wall tires. It would never occur to me. Thank you so much for your plainclothes work. Anyway, so this dude writes that yesterday when we were talking with Art, he mentioned the, or maybe I mentioned the crash of the United Airlines flight in Sioux City. Just in passing. Guess when the anniversary of it was? It was yesterday. I swear to God, I hadn't read about it, nothing. Yesterday, 1989, when that thing came out of the air. And I remember that crash, man. It was heavy because they had the radio traffic between the tower and this pilot. And if you heard it, it was the most compelling thing, because the dude that was working in the radio control tower, was very concerned for this pilot. And obviously the pilot's very concerned for his flight. And the two of these men, for a period of some 15 or 20 minutes, had this relationship going. And it was a younger guy in the control tower, and the pilot is older. And the younger guy is saying, all right, sir, now I'm clearing all the traffic. And he's telling it. Meanwhile, he's getting all the traffic off of every freaking runway. It's Sioux City, Iowa. What are they, you know, what are they going to do? He says, sir, I got that traffic cleared off I got the traffic cleared off of, you know, runway 23, sir. And the pilot says, you're going to be particular and make it a runway, huh? Because the pilot realizes he cannot control this craft, and he doesn't know whether he's going to land it on a runway or in the cornfield. So it was kind of one of those funny moments. He says, you think I'm landing on a runway? You're kidding. I don't know where I'm going to land this thing. I may land it on your house. So now the drama and the tension is mounting as he says, yes, sir, and I got you coming on a runway 23 left, sir, and the guy's battling this freaking plane. And they, of course, like you heard one of the callers say, the co-pilot reached over, and now there's two men on one yoke as they're trying to stabilize this craft because it's got no hydraulic fluid. There is absolutely no ability to really, control this aircraft with any ease. It's taking two guys to pull this thing around until finally they're bringing it in. And I think he did bring it in on the runway, but he brought it in just a little tipped. And it began to cartwheel down the runway, wing over wing. I mean, if you can imagine that. The good news was this. About half of the passengers, a little more than half the passengers, survived. Now, if you think that that's, you know, that's a miracle. It's a freaking miracle. The other thing was that the pilot himself survived. And I think most of the crew, if not all, I don't know, survived this air crash. And when they found the pilot, he was buried under like 15 pounds of, you know, it's freaking like the wing was on this guy. Oh, it's heavy. And this became there's a website you can go to, and I don't know the name of it, but you can actually listen to. One of the reasons why they stopped releasing the recordings of black boxes is because they didn't like, the Pilots Association lobbied not to have these black box recordings released. They said, these are our colleagues. And you're releasing their death throes to the public for the kicks and the amusement of the public, and we're not going to stand for it. And so they stopped releasing these black box recordings if they involve the actual fatality of a pilot. But there is a site where you can listen to the recordings of some of these pilots, you know, where there were not fatalities on the flight deck as they're struggling with these aircraft, you know. This one guy got hit on a runway over in Portugal or something. It was something like, all right, we're bringing it around. What in Christ is that? You know, and he's like,
you're still there, Bill? Yeah, I'm here, but I got an airplane on me. Somebody come over here with a tow truck, it'd be very nice.